Welcome to another edition of Broadway Babies. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is at BWay_babies and Facebook is Broadway Babies TV. I am Stephanie Anderson.
And I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And today's guest is somebody that I know personally. I've been hoping to get on our program, so I'm really excited she's here. We have Natalie Weiss with us today. Hi, how are you, Natalie?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Good. Welcome to Broadway Babies.
Thanks for having me.
Just to get us started, tell us a little bit about your journey into the arts.
My journey into the arts. Okay. I grew up in New Jersey and my parents put me in classical piano lessons at like 4. They took me to pop concerts very early. So like Billy Joel and Madonna and Janet Jackson at a very early age. And I remember like touching the backup dancer's hand at age 8 and being like, I want to be a pop star. Then I did some musicals growing up, but like they didn't really know I could sing until like a little bit later. I was always like the piano player first. And then I did the talent show as a singer after being a piano player and they were like, wait, what? And I think I could like all of a sudden riff and had vibrato, oddly, from listening to Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, obviously. I went to a performing arts high school half a day. I went to Penn State University for musical theater. While I was in college, I kind of became the go-to vocal coach for my friends because I played piano, so we would like go into a practice room and like harmonize.
Take it.
That's the gist of the journey into the arts. Okay. So I'll stop there and we'll see if your questions lead there. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So I know the first time that I saw you on something was when you performed I'm a Star. So that was something where you, if tell me if I'm getting this correctly, I believe it was it Eden Espinosa that was supposed to sing it and she got sick or lost her voice or something. And so you stepped in. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, totally, how something like that happens and how much time you have to prepare, you know, crazy.
It's always so funny, like what everyone's like, what I call like the gateway. Well, it's what's the gateway or was it not what the gateway drug is, but like what the gateway is. Just because some people like, let's say like I'll do a coaching and somebody's like, I just found you last month. And I'm like, where you been? No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, I've been on the interwebs for a while. Where did you find me? Through a funny Instagram video. Like, it's just interesting. Like, oh, your first video was I'm a Star. So rewind to 2006 when I was at Penn State for musical theater. I was singing at the head of the program's house. I was singing a Dreamgirls song, which was kind of inappropriate. And I was doing it as an opera version. And I was like doing this funny bit and belting the end. One of the freshmen was recording it and he was like, yeah, girl. And he put it on this thing called YouTube.com. And that was 15 years ago. And he labeled it, and I am telling you, white girl can blow. So that's how my entire life started, by accident. I was just graduating around that time and was getting a lot of Facebook friend requests. And then my showcase video went viral, for lack of a better word, because, you know, viral, it was like a couple thousand, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Like billions. So it was going viral in like the musical theater community, very like it was building. And at the same time, like the musical theater community on YouTube was just starting. So it just happened at the right place at the right time. So I graduated in the spring and then like a couple months go by and Scott Allen and I were, well, I think he was dating an acquaintance of mine at the time. So I was like, I love your music. And I just like reached out in like 2007. And then he randomly, oh, hello.
Sorry.
He randomly reached out and said like, he researched a bunch of my videos. And at that time I only had a few, you know, it was 2008. He just to make sure I could sing these songs. So at first I was supposed to sub in for Carly Gibson and sing Say Goodbye. And then the bonus was the fact that I got to sing another song, which was the big song. So that's the one that like people talk about. But since you're learning this, can you learn this? And I was like, and I knew it, but I had to memorize it really fast. That's why I flubbed the words and make up my own on the video. But no, I mean, it was probably a 24-hour situation of like, I'm new here, everyone. I idolize everyone here, you know. Dying, kind of like my entrance into New York City. So that was a crazy night. And my voice, it's not that I can't do that now. It's just like my voice has dropped since then. I'm not 20, two anymore. So 23.
None of us are.
Yes. So yeah, it was easy back then, those high notes.
Yeah.
Easier.
Yeah, I love that. I watched that video probably on a loop for a long time because I was just like obsessed that anybody could sing the way that you sing. And I still tell people to this day that like one of my favorite voices, you are one of my one of my favorite voices. I think you're incredibly talented and also a lovely person.
Thank you.
I watched Idol. I saw you on Idol. I didn't put two and two together that like this is the same person. It was like years later that I was like, oh, in fact, it might have even been when you came to Montreal to teach with my students. And, you know, I was like looking up clips and things like that. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
Well, I do want to know about Idol, but my gateway as we're talking was Breaking Down the Riffs.
So
where
it was like...
I know from. Yeah, yeah. So I have to think of which. It had to be a Mariah Carey breakdown because that was the only reason why I was like, I don't riff, so let me just check this out.
Oh,
I was like, me no riff, so let me look. Mariah Carey's like my absolute favorite. So I was like, oh girl, yes, let's see what's going on here. And so I watched that, and then I started, you know, then it kind of moved along from there. So I was like, oh, let me see another one. This was great. Let me see another one. Oh, this is awesome. And then like Noelle was saying, it took me a moment to kind of put two and two together because I had seen you on Idol, but it did not even register for some reason. It's so weird how that is. It's like, oh, I don't remember that. But that is probably one of my favorite little web series is Breaking Down the Riffs.
But my question is, can you riff now because of Breaking Down the Riffs?
Can I?
I can go 1, 2, 3, 4.
You still enjoy it. You still enjoy it.
Love it. But it still takes me a moment because my brain doesn't want to do that for some reason. You know, it's like, no, you're musical theater. That's like your classical musical theater. You can't do that. Yes, I can. My brain's like, yes, I can. Like half of it says yes, half of it says no. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, I enjoy watching it. I love the way you broke them down. It was great how you did that. I really wish I could remember which episode that was.
Maybe was it to Lead the Way?
It might have been because I'm hearing that riff in my head.
That was horrible. I didn't open my mouth because I have a lozenge in. That one?
It was the furthest thing from it was the furthest thing from horrible. Because let me tell you, if I tried to do that, it would sound like
and I'm not trying to endorse your program and be like, yeah, I can do it too. And be like, your car's starting, so we're good. But yeah, it might have been Lead the Way. Because I was trying to figure that all out. I mean, everything else I could probably do, it's just, it's getting those riffs together.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you come up with that idea? Because it's a brilliant idea.
Thank
you. Let me just break it down for people who are not sure about how that all works.
But it's also another crazy thing that everything in my life has been like not calculated. It's been like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then like I had an audience. So the first thing was an accident, obviously, because it was the right time with that one video. And then everything else was like, that's fun. That's, you know, teaching somebody something, or that's funny, or that sounds good. I'll post it. It wasn't like, and now I will get this many likes. Like that just was never it. So I was on tour with Les Mis for like 2.5 years and I was a swing. So I had a lot of offstage time. And my friend was like, listen to Beyonce's Halo. How do I do that riff? And I was like, let me listen. So I basically was like, all right, there are 7 notes. If you try tilting your head on the 5th note, it's like a scale, but not. She was like, whoa, that works. So I was like, all right, let me clock that I did that. And then I was like, all right, somebody taught me the Lead the Way riff like years prior. And for lack of a better word, broke it down into sections. Cause I was like, I could never. And so I remember hearing that into four sections and like clocking that. And then I had the Jasmine Sullivan riffs that I knew. And I was like, oh, I can do it fast, but I can't do it slow. Let me slow it down and be like, okay, what language would be helpful? Numbers, like you count starting with one. So obviously you wouldn't count starting with 16, like one, two, like you just count in order, like Pop Singing for Dummies. And then I added in like, you know, down, up, down, and a bounce, yeah. Half step, stuff with music theory, and then stuff that's just like every man could walk around. So just kind of built from there and has improved, and there's a visual aspect now. And it started as a passion project that was going to be one video. And then my friend's like, I'm an editor. And I was like, okay. So it just turned out to be a good product. So
yeah, it's
amazing product. Yeah.
Yeah. I just happenstanced on that one day. It was like, would you like to see? Sure, why not? And it just from there, I was like, oh, I gotta see another one. Oh, that's another one.
Yeah. And now on TikTok, everyone is doing riffs and runs 24/7.
Riffs and runs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Love it. That is why you're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
Why I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. When Noelle's like, oh yeah, well, I met her. I know. I'm like, I would like to talk to her.
I would like to.
So I guess bouncing off, we'll kind of jump around a little bit, but bouncing off breaking down the riffs, maybe you want to tell us about your new digital course.
Yes, I would love to. So I'm in the throes of the launch. I'm hoping by the end of May, I'm going to be doing like mini launches up until like a big launch. But basically I was encouraged to do a digital course like 3 years ago. And then I was like, okay. And then they're like, just write all your ideas down in order. And I'm like, nope, going back to bed. So I basically was like, this is too daunting. So I kind of avoided it. When the pandemic hit, I was like very busy in the very beginning. I was so thrilled to be like, no, actually the very beginning, I was so happy because I was thrilled to take time to do nothing at the very beginning. And then I was like loving my life of doing like, oh my God, like I was about to be on vacation. It was sad, you know, everyone was. And then one of my friends was like, dude, you have such a big following. Like think of if 1% bought your course. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I was like, cool. So it's been a year of my life. I have no life. It's all I do is 24/7. But it's basically finally a product that people can do at their own pace. And it's like much more in depth in order for people that it's the things you've seen on the internet are like level 47. Like they're very hard. This is like not just like easier, but more nuanced than that. So it's like even more adding in more to your pop toolbox, not just like riffs. Like I don't even do 3-note riffs until like module 5. Like I do like pop sensibility and pop tools, diving deeper into that I never talked about on my series. And the editing that's going along with it helps people that are like auditory and visual learners. So there's just both components going on. And it's well shot, well edited. And there's like all of these quizzes that go along that are audio quizzes that are so fun. I'm a huge game person. So I'm really like nervous and excited. I feel like I'm giving birth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're spending a year of your life working on it.
Exactly. Then, right.
Yeah. Wow. Well, what is, so we will definitely link to your website.
They can be the first
mailing
early
list.
Access pricing. Yes.
Great. So I'm very, very, very excited to take that course because, you know, I've always been told that I don't sing like a musical theater person, but I don't sing like a pop person that, you know, like somewhere kind of in the middle. And it's been hard for me sometimes in both. Because I'm like a contemporary musical theater person. Like that's my happy place is being in contemporary musicals. Though I was trained as, you know, a legit soprano. And you know, when I was all through school, like I didn't know how to belt anything until, and I think I probably told you this when I met you, but I wanted to learn how to belt after Wicked. I was like, God, this is how musical theater is going. I'm going to have to learn to do this, you know? And I would watch videos. I watched videos of you and videos of Casey Levy, and there was somebody else I used to watch, and I would mimic you.
That's how I learned mimicking.
I would literally mimic. And when I started working with my vocal coach here, who she used to teach at Ithaca College, and I think it was during when I was doing chess and I was working on a song, and she's like, where did you learn to belt? And I said, oh gosh, am I doing it all wrong? I just learned by mimicking singers that I love on the internet. She's like, well, you're totally doing it correctly and healthy. And I'm very, very excited to have something like that I can have at home that, like you said, I can do in my own time and at my own pace. And, you know, it's something that once you purchase the courses, it's something that unlimited, like, you keep access. You can go back. Yeah. So, I mean, that's amazing.
It's a lot of practice tools. And you honestly won't ever hear pop music the same way, or contemporary musical theater. Just one of my friends who helped me create it, was like kind of guiding them, her friend, through the course. And he was like, wait, this is so much fun. I've never thought about it like this. And like, these are people that I've beta tested this on, of like very strong musicians and like very strong riffers and good musicians and fine riffers. And even my very advanced people that I consult with that hadn't seen it, they were like, I have literally never thought about it like this before. And I was like, oh my God, it's so exciting, because I'm trying to simplify it. And so it's just like the potential, and I'm like on the cusp, but it was like, I can't look at it anymore, you know?
Oh, it's amazing. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Yeah. You have your course. Are you're still doing a lot of teaching? Like, are you teaching online? And
I am, and I have been throughout the whole year. This whole like last month, I've been like 24/7 trying to get all the materials together. So not as much. And then when the course comes out, I'm like really trying to be like, and we're not, so we could like focus on that. But actually, September was my craziest month in like years for online teaching, because I was doing this belting and pop technique for classical and legit musical theater singers. And in the past, if I were to do a masterclass in New York, you know, we have people that apply and then choose participants, and then observers would be like, oh, I'm a teacher, can I observe? And it's like, what, two observers? Literally, I had like 150 people apply to just observe from all over the world, which was so crazy. I hadn't even thought, oh, I've actually never really offered this on Zoom. So it was definitely a plus for my business, which was like, I didn't even realize that. That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, being able to open it up worldwide, you know, it's amazing that the opportunities that we all kind of have as artists, as teachers, is because of what happened in the world. Like, I'm busier now. I'm busier now than I was before. Way busier now.
It was
than
like a
I
learning
was
curve, before. And then it was like, this is it.
That's it. So that's amazing. I love it. So let's get back a little bit to Broadway. Seeing as our show is called Broadway.
Yep.
Broadway babies. Your Broadway debut was Everyday Rapture.
It was 11 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, well, yeah. I was, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And was, I mean, were you auditioning and
for
then
11 years
it?
Or like,
no, until like to the point where you booked that show?
Oh, yes. So basically, like, let's see, 2009 to show. I think I was like probably quitting the business for like the 80th time. And then I was like, I'm uninspired, I have no confidence, I'll do a solo show. So then I did like a solo show and was like feeling creative and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I should get into a musical theater class, so I feel like I'm inspired again. So I was getting like material every week and performing it, feeling like confident again. And I booked the show after my agents dropped me. I booked two shows after that. So I booked Everyday Rapture by myself at one of the equity calls. And then on my day off from Everyday Rapture, I went to the Les Mis open call, not open call, like the equity court, whatever the course call was. And booked The Swing, both without an agent. And I kind of was like, A Swing, oh my God, I thought I was auditioning for like the cover of Fontaine. I was like, I'll be on the road for 6 months. And then I was like, 2.5 later, never leaving this job, most money I've ever made. Like, basically all my friends were unemployed and our show was making crazy overage, and I loved my friends on tour. So socially, yeah, it's half the battle, you know?
Right, right. Wow, 2.5 years.
And that was 8 years ago.
Right.
8 years.
So that, I think you were just coming off the tour when you came here.
I think I went to Montreal in 2014 because I based it off of my bad haircut.
2013, November 2013. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the bad brows and the bob. My friends were like, you're aging backwards. I'm like, yes.
It was the bob. I don't remember the bad brows, though.
Oh, yeah. I post the evolution of my brows all the time. Check it
out. Oh, you do? I must look. I remember making you pancakes. Oh, it's just actually.
Oh, I do remember that now.
I made you pancakes. I was like, okay, I have a guest. So Natalie and I met on Twitter, basically.
Yeah, remind me.
You
I'm trying to find the brow for you. Here's the brow.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
We had had like a bit of a back and forth over something, and I can't remember what it was. And you were gotten booked at Sheridan in Toronto.
Yeah, I did.
And you messaged me, and you said, "Oh, I'm."
Oh, it was the same trip.
You're in Montreal, and are you? You know, and do you want to? And I'd never done a masterclass before. I'd never offered anything, and so. Yeah, we made the plans, and you flew in there and took the train here and flew.
That's right.
Out here.
It was the same trip.
And you had said, I can just stay at your house. I was like, okay, why not? You know, like save money. And I remember making you pancakes. And then the next day, I was like, okay, this is what I have, cereal and oatmeal and whatever. And you're like, I could eat pancakes again. I was like, okay.
The little things you remember, right?
I remember that
it's
because
coming back to me now.
Because I think you're probably the only person outside of my household that I've ever like actually made pancakes for, and I'm a good pancake.
Oh.
They were like strawberry banana chocolate chip.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous. Don't tempt me right now. I'm back on Whole30. Kill me. Anyway.
Anyway, but it was so fun, and it was a great learning experience for me, both from a putting together like a class kind of thing, but also having you here and working with these students and kind of watching you do, you know, I really got the value of being an observer in a masterclass.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Because, you know, just I think I did actually do like a
you
little
did sing, I think. Yeah.
I think I did sing. But it was I think it was right. I think you had just come off.
It was 2013 then. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just,
I definitely had laryngitis right before that trip.
You did.
I had canceled my 54 Below show. I like couldn't even answer the door for the delivery man. It was traumatic.
Yeah.
But, the whole thing about observing, it is true though. Observing, like mm-hmm. people don't realize the value of that.
It's so.
And my teaching has even changed so much since then. Like I learned new things all the time.
Okay. I just remember, you know, some of the students coming in with like really musical theater, like, you know, astonishing, somebody saying astonishing, I think. Yeah, actually, I know exactly who's saying astonishing. And then some kids coming in with like, you know, more pop, kind of pop stuff, and just watching, I guess I'd never watched anybody coach on anything other than like, musical theater, you know, it was interesting, and you did a whole little breaking down the riff section with us as well. Okay, it was great. Anyway, I digress. Broadway, musical theater, yes, musical theater. So, you did the Les Mis tour for 2.5 years. You also did the Wicked tour.
I did the Wicked tour for like 10 weeks, and it was like 12 years ago. It was very very atypical because I was replacing an injury leave. So it was like a hard out, and it was like just a very atypical. I had to learn my ensemble track because they were starting a new company. So the entire tour was tour two was learning the show for the first time. And I came in and learned Defying Gravity till the end. And then had to learn the beginning of the show, like 3 hours on the side with somebody else. Cause it was just a very atypical situation.
Wow.
And so I never got to rehearse or gone for Elphaba, which is super sad. Because there was a standby who hadn't even rehearsed because the first Elphaba was like rehearsing. It was just a very like new company.
Okay.
And then she came back and
That's that.
It was a short stint, and here we are today.
And it was, there we go.
Yeah.
The last time I saw you on stage was Emoji Land, which written by Keith Harrison and Laura Shine. Laura was on our show early. We had Laura on like our fourth episode or something.
Aww.
Or something like that. Cause I met them. I was going to LA doing a show, needed an accompanist, reached out to some friends, and I was referred to Keith. And so in 2015, I did like a one woman show at Genghis Cohen in Hollywood. And Keith was my
accompanist. That's so weird. My friend was just talking about that place. What is
that? Oh, really?
That?
It's a Chinese restaurant.
Yes, that's so weird.
Music venue.
My fan is so loud. Okay, literally last night, somebody typed that and I went, what is that? And you just said that. Something happened just before where somebody mentioned a song that I hadn't heard in years and heard it yesterday. And I'm like, what? Anyway.
Weird. It's like my favorite. It's this tiny little place. It's pews for seats. There's like 10 rows. It's super tiny. It's got really good sound. The people that run it are so nice. And so Keith was my accompanist. And at the time he and Laura were still married. So Laura came to the show. So that was in 2015. So I've known them kind of since then, watching all the evolution of kind of Emoji Land and stuff like that. And so it was absolutely one of the shows that I had to see when I went last year, and it was like bonus. Natalie's in it. I'd never seen you in a show.
Nobody
live.
Has. Well, listen. Part of the reason, honestly, I was on a really awesome solo tour in LA. It was like I think I was like Utah, Vegas, LA. It was so fulfilling. I was taking my mini show on the road and was feeling very fulfilled. And then I got this. Basically email saying, do you want to do this musical? I hadn't heard of it. I had an audition for it. And like, oh my God. That's it. But basically I'm just like, I get this email came out of nowhere. And I really had to think, you know, what do I want to be doing? And I was like, I'm doing this because I want to play a role in New York. I mean, nobody's ever seen me in a role like ever. And let alone in New York, like I did Ghost, but like my friends came, you know? So, yeah. And the crazy thing is the last performance with the one that you saw was the whole virus.
Yeah, I know.
How weird is that?
Laura says that like we were her favorite audience of the entire run. I don't know. Maybe there was something in the air that, not,
that
you know, because we were on the verge of
theater.
It was, yeah, it was just, I cannot remember ever laughing so hard during
a
show.
I mean, it's so clever, and there are bops and the actors
totally bops, and everybody was so great in the show. It was just such an absolute joy, and for that to have been the last piece of theater that I've seen in like 14 months, I'm like, I still talk about, you know, and I still curse myself for not buying any merch that night.
Oh my God. Ah,
why didn't I buy the hoodie? But, you know, I know that I think that there's probably a big future for the show.
You know, we weren't sure. We were hearing all this buzz. And then obviously, like, every time, oh my God, producer, we would always be like, whatever. Because I think there is potential. I think certain things need to change and certain things are like amazing. You know, it's just so much potential. It's so smart. People came back multiple times. I had never been a part of a show that like, I guess SpongeBob had a lot of super fans, and like Laura would tell me about the fan art. I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
A lot of I know a lot of kind of crossover fans, people who love SpongeBob who equally loved it, like Haley St. James.
Yes.
You know, like Haley is the best kind of super fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
For selfish reasons, I want to see it again. I want to see it again more than once. I want to see it with you. I want to see it like is in intact, that, you know, which I know will never happen, but I want to just see
Well, the sad thing is that like Somebody, I think Haley sent me a bootleg because some of my friends had, they were coming the last week. Like my two best friends never saw it because they were like, I'm out of town until the last week. We don't have a last week.
Right.
We never filmed it for archives. So we had to beg you know, like that we, but we, I think we might have done it that last week.
Okay.
But
yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Some people packed their stations up for 2 days and I said, we're not coming back.
I remember you told us that night. You said that and
that was the Tom Hanks night.
Tom Hanks
has COVID.
Yeah. Oh yes. We got back to our Airbnb and we found out that like the NBA, the NHL, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, literally we were sitting and laughing at the theater and then we left the theater and we're like, what the hell? And my friend, she'd never been to New York before. We drove in that day. As we were driving in, we were seeing the Jagged Little Pill matinee that day. And as we were driving in, Derek texted me to tell me that he had called out the night before and he was calling out and he was so sorry that we weren't going to get to see him in the show. And, you know, like bummed, but I mean, we're still,
I know I would be so stressed like go. All the time being like, so sorry, you know?
And it turned in turned out to be okay because he had COVID. And, you know, we would have hugged and we had planned to go to get something to eat and, you know, and then we were going to go see you guys. And imagine, had he not had symptoms the day before. Oh, so it could have been very, very different. So this was her first time. We arrived at like 12:30 or we left here at 5 a.m., got there at like 12:30 or 1, went, saw Jagged Little Pill. Got something to eat. We were at an Airbnb in Hell's Kitchen that when we booked it, we didn't realize it was a fourth floor walk up. So after like being up since the crack of dawn and driving,
live in a fourth floor walk up. One of my friends lives in a sixth floor walk up. I'm like, are you nuts?
God, no.
What?
No. I complain about my little, like my eight stairs. I have to come upstairs in my house. Sometimes definitely I'm like, not. I'll just sleep on the couch tonight.
Crawling, I'm just gonna crawl up.
But you know, so then we went and saw your show, and then everything happened. And the next day, when everything was canceled, she hadn't even seen Times Square. So I'm like, okay, well, let's at least we'll go to Times Square. And it was so, like, it just went from like there being thousands of people to all of a sudden, like that, nobody in Manhattan. It was so strange. We went back to our Airbnb, watched TikTok and YouTube videos until we fell asleep and got up the next morning to drive back.
Like, to go back, yeah.
Because we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to drive back. We were so tired from like driving in the day before. We're like, well, at least we'll just sleep here and we'll get up early and we'll, you know, go back tomorrow morning. But she still talks about not only how great Emoji Land was, but how kind you all were to, you know, those of you who I knew introducing her, and she's still like, oh, I want to go back and see Emoji Land again. I'm like, I wish we could.
Oh my goodness.
I wish we could. Just, I loved you in that show. I, you know, we don't know each other that well. We know each other a little, but I was seriously sitting there so proud of you.
Aww, that's so sweet. I just
you blew me away. I love everything you do. And
oh, thank you.
Do more.
Yeah. Do more.
And I do want to bring one day I'm going to bring you back here to teach another class, because
okay, yeah, I haven't gone to Canada. Oh no, I went to Canada in Ottawa, and oh, that was so scary at the border. They asked me so many questions. I had a story straight about, because there was no visa.
You can't say you're teaching, right?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I almost, wow. I was like, yeah, you know, totally. Yeah. My buddy's here. And it was a teacher who was picking me up. Yeah, my buddy, I'm saying, it was terrifying.
I remember when you came, it was like maybe 2 years after you were here or something like that. Because I was going to go. For me, Ottawa, it's only like a half an hour more for me to drive to Ottawa than it is for me to drive to downtown Montreal. So I was like, oh, I'll go. And I went, I was working that day. And by the time I finished work, I would have gone there for like, you know, the last half an hour of your class or something like that. So, but yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky with the...
Because you can't make money or without a visa. It's very...
Yeah, you have
to. You're visiting friends.
You're just visiting friends. Yeah, you're just visiting friends, and pay me with Venmo. You know, that's how I pay everybody that comes here now. I just Venmo them because it's.
It was very weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit stressful, that old border situation. But yes, I would. You'll just come visit me, and then. You'll teach a class and I'll give you some money.
Okay, great.
But it'll just be a gift. It's just going to be a gift. Here's a gift for helping me out. For those border customs officers that are listening just to gift. Broadway Babies.
Lots of gifts. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
I'm just very excited to finally get a chance to meet you and tell you what a gift. You are just kind of bring down the risk. I just wish you would, I would wish I could see you in more things. That's the thing. I'm like, more of
that. Okay, more okay, of I'll try. Well, follow me on all the socials and I'll try to provide.
I will do that.
For now.
And I'm just going to do my Viola and just be like, more. I can get more plates.
The best. The best.
More. Give me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fantastic. And I'm probably now that you talk about it, I'm probably going to go back because I haven't really sung much in the past year.
That's what a lot of people say. So,
yeah, for real. I really have not. I mean, I barely auditioned, barely done anything. This has been the best for me. I just to kind of take back, you know, my time, reclaiming my time.
Yeah.
As such. So, and I actually was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, you know, you really have done a lot of like singing like I kind of sing around the house, but you know, it's not the same. It really is not the same.
Well, you know, this course is coming out the right time for you then.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I am ready. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm excited. You know, a lot of people have been really doing self-care, like getting physically fit and all that. My thing was I really had to get my mind right. That was where my journey was.
Yeah, everyone has their own things that they really achieved this year. Yeah.
Right. So I had to really get that together, get my mind right, get myself together spiritually, and just kind of move on from there and try to figure out like what's next for me. That's where I am. You know what I mean? So, but singing will always be a part of that. I mean, it's always going to be integral because that's something that, you know, growing up, that was the big thing for me was music. It was something that I could always go to. And it's probably one of the most beautiful things is because you can take it with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are. Like you can just, here's a song, you know? You know, I want to sing the song. I can sing the song anywhere. You don't need a piano. You don't need anything. You mm-hmm. can just sing by yourself. So it wasn't that I didn't want to sing. It was just, it was not the thing that was needed at the time. But now that I'm kind of coming back and things are kind of opening up again, and like we were talking about, you could kind of feel there's something, you know, something's coming.
Something.
And not in a bad way. Yeah, it's not ominous. Like,
besides the West coming. Side Story film.
Run. Oh. Right. So you have that feeling of like, oh God, I need to get myself. Okay. So I got that together. Now it's time to come and put this piece back with that. So that's where it is for me.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. And you know, Steph says that she can't riff.
People would say that. I'm
you
like,
you got to hear this woman sing.
I like, know.
She is so
I heard.
Fabulous. Girlfriend. You got it all.
Yeah. There is one riff that I want to learn, and it's, of course, it's Mariah's. It's from Mariah's theme.
That's my favorite. That is my number one. That is my number one
Listen,
favorite riff.
Natalie, and I have a story about that, but I'm not going to put it on the air because I don't want to be that girl. But
I posted a whole video explaining the story of my connection to that song.
Let me tell you what happened.
I gotta
happened.
Find okay. this video. Hold on, wait.
Okay.
I love it.
So Charm Bracelet Tour, this was her only tour that was really kind of like Vegas, but it was it was her first really scaled down tour, because this was after all that crap with Glitter, which, let me just say, never got its props until last year, but whatever.
What's your Instagram name before I forget?
Mine? What is mine?
Is it Steph Official? No, that's Twitter. Hang on, I'm looking you up right now.
Sorry.
Do you guys not use Instagram?
Yeah, it's Steph Anders OFCL.
Yeah, that's Insta. Yeah. I was looking at Twitter. It's just
all right. Bit. I send it. I send it to you so you can see what I'm talking about. Okay.
Okay. So her tour was very scaled down that time. The Charm Bracelet tour, and it was also a special one because it was also the holiday one. So she included all her holiday music in this one. So I was like, yeah, she's coming here in Orange County. Are you kidding me? Who does that? She never comes to Orange County. So I was like, mom, at the time my son was, he was really super little at the time. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was really going through really bad postpartum. So it was just at a time in my life where I was just like, just everything was on a shingle. So my mom's like, look, I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you this money. Go buy yourself a ticket. Go see Mariah. I'll watch the baby. And I was like, thank you, mom. I'm like crying, just a hot mess. So I get there and I was like, well, I don't even care. And it was at a theater, like a legit theater. She doesn't do that. Like, she's like stadium. So this to me was like, she's going to be live, like close live. So I was like, I don't care if I'm in the balcony. I don't care. Just I'll take a ticket. And Divide and Guidance was like, no, brah, you're going to be up there in the front. And this lady's like, you know what? I have a ticket. Somebody didn't come. So it's like third row off the center. I was like, and it was exactly the amount third of money I had. Yes. Third row center. Just the amount of money that I had. I was like, okay, I could probably buy a souvenir, but I don't have to. It's okay. But it was the exact amount I had that I could, you know, fudge a souvenir, and I did. So now I'm sitting in this theater. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm shaking.
Oh my God. Head.
But I'm sitting in this theater and I'm so excited. And I've never seen her live. So the show starts, and this time for Charm Bracelet, she would come through the audience and go up on stage. Let me tell you, she started from the back of the house, came down the house right aisle, and she was like all hair and leg and glittering. And I thought I was going to lose my freaking mind. Like, I'm not like that with a lot of celebrities, but if I ever meet her, I'm probably going to be a big bawling mess, just a hot mess. And so to myself, I was like, oh my God, she's like a live Barbie. It's great. So she gets on the stage, starts singing. She's got three sets, and she kind of, you know, chit chats and talks in between, and, you know, throws out her Mariahisms and whatever. And so the music starts for Mariah's theme. And I'm like, no, she's not going to sing this song. Is she going to sing the song? She's going to sing the song. And what had happened before that, people were standing up. They weren't just sitting in their seats because they couldn't be contained. They would stand up. And I noticed that she would go to people when they would stand up and sing. And she would just, you know, kind of have like a moment with them or whatever. So I could not help myself. She started singing the song, and kind of in the second, like in kind of the second verseage, I could not help myself. So I stood up and she saw me. And she came over and we were singing at each other. I could not handle it.
Were you crying? They can't say.
Totally. 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 So so the second verse that she gets to, they can't try. Da, 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 da. And then it gets to the verse, you know, where it like starts revving up. Whoa, they can't say.
Oh, yep.
Yes, yes. So that's what we were doing with each other. And she's looking at me and pointing at me, and I'm pointing at her. And I'm like, it was crazy. Crying, singing. It was beautiful. That was my moment.
I'm dead.
I love it. Now, so now I, now, Steph, you have to learn the riff from Natalie.
I only know the first part. I haven't broken it down.
No, but at some point, I'm not saying today, at some point, you gals need to.
I give you a, one, two, three, four, five. That's all I
know. Yeah, yeah. That's the one.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, yeah. That one. That one.
Amazing.
Yeah, see what I mean? I was like, I'm down in the basement with her like lower part. That was my story. To this day, I will never ever deflect from being a lamb. Once and always. Always, always. Aww. That moment for me was every single thing. And it's funny how you don't think about it in that respect because you're from the fan vantage point, it's so different. When you have people come up to you and go, oh, I'm such a fan. You're like, oh, why? No, that's how I am. I'm like, okay, thank you. I mean, I take it. I mean, I'm receptive to it and I receive it, but it's so funny to see how different it is from different sides. But yeah, that just blew me away. Blew me away.
I always say everybody is a fan of somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's
everybody
true.
Is a fan of somebody, right?
That's my girl. Always, always, always. And that's the song. That song is very hard for me to listen to even now. I get kind of misty because I'm like,
oh my God. So,
yes.
No, literally. Yeah. Visceral. Yep.
So what you have to do then, since Natalie hasn't broken down that particular riff, you have to go on the breaking down the riffs of the other. You've done more than one Mariah riff. Yeah. Have you on breaking down?
I think I just did one.
Just the one.
I just remember Lead the Way.
I think I just did Lead the Way.
So, Steph, your homework is to film yourself learning that riff, and you don't have to send it to anybody else. Just send it to me, please.
Lead the Way.
Please.
That's
me,
a crazy riff.
Me trying to learn the riffs with breaking down the riffs is I get there eventually. I do think I get there eventually with watching your videos, Nat, but I wouldn't want to be anybody with ears in my house while I'm trying to learn, like,
that part.
One of my cats very much enjoys my singing. The other one makes it perfectly clear that what I'm doing is unacceptable, and he
That's
leaves
all you
the
need.
Room.
I can't.
Oh my gosh.
Your digital course, is there a name for your digital course?
Yeah, it's called The Guide to Breaking Down the Riffs.
Okay.
Hi, Natalie Weiss.
That's such a huge project. And do you have anything else coming down the pike, or is that
I have a lot of really cool projects that are potential, but I have signed so many NDAs right now that
gotcha.
I can't be cryptic, but there are some potentially
gotcha.
Really cool things happening, but the only one I can really talk about is my course. So, and then I'll be on an island somewhere soon. I don't know. I miss the beach. I went to the beach so much last year.
Panthers in the ocean. Well, so our guest today has been Natalie Weiss. Thank you, Natalie, for coming on and talking to us today. I'm really excited about her program. So that's going to be great.
And Natalie, yes. thank you so much, Natalie, for
thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie,
nice
so much.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Broadway Babies. I am Stephanie Anderson.
And I'm Noelle Hannibal.
All right. And find us on Twitter and Facebook. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.